number of testimonies of God's visitation and healing happening from around the world in response to God putting His foot down, His presence being made known in Lakeland, Florida. And so however God wants to get to us, I'm for it. Just get to us so that we can have the opportunity to engage Him at in a whole new area of freshness. Today I want to spend a few minutes with you and ask you to consider the notion of finding your message. I'm going to develop that thought for you a little bit, but basically it's going to come down to this. Every single one of us who knows Jesus Christ has a message that's distinct. Because from wherever it was we came, we encountered the Lord along the way, and He used everything about our past to prepare us to speak to a particular clientele the word of hope that Jesus Christ can change your life. And I want to just visit briefly with you. This is a full day, so we'll not spend a lot of time here. But I want you to consider with me the notion of communication. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to communicate your own message? I was in a conversation with somebody just a couple of days ago, and it was miscommunicate for 6 or 7 sentences. And then I said, see why I have to trust the Holy Spirit when I'm working through an interpreter overseas? I think it was a woman. Pretty sure it was a woman. Which complicates the communication because we don't think alike. We don't emote in the same fashion. But even when you you've got a message, you've got something you want to say, and sometimes when you attempt to say it, it just doesn't come out quite right. You know what you want to say, but by the time it's broadcast, the one on the receiving end is thinking, really? Take, for example, dog for sale. Eats anything and is fond of children. You know that there's a message in there somewhere. But I don't think what we heard is what was intended to be sent. Tired of cleaning yourself? Let me do it. Stock up and save. Limit 1. Wanted, man to take care of cow that does not smoke or drink. You get the picture? Our experienced mom will care for your child, fenced yard meals and smacks included. Illiterate, write today for help. But I always appreciate attempts at honest communication. Used cars, why go anywhere else to be cheated? Come here first. Now, these are wonderful, humorous illustrations of imprecise communication. You know that they had a message they wanted to get out. By the time it was transmitted, it was already too late to bring it back. Sometimes it's complicated in that we don't know what our message is, but we keep transmitting anyway, hoping something will stick. I want to consider the issue of finding your message. I want to start with the person of Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask this question, and you are immediately going to think on it and come to a conclusion. I want to ask you to decide for us, what was the message of Jesus? What message did Jesus come declaring? Suppose I were to ask 5 of you to tell us what popped into your mind. Well, I believe the message of Jesus was, what are the odds of all 5 of you saying the same thing? Very remote. Because He is a one-message-fits-all But that one message has multiple applications and impact. When John was taken into prison to be beheaded, Jesus went away by himself. He reflected for a while and he came back saying, from that time forward, he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what does it mean to repent? Have you ever decided, this happened to me the other day. I was pulling up to an intersection. I was going to get into this lane, and then I repented and got in the other lane. What did I do? I changed my direction. And I should have stayed with the first one because I ended up going to the wrong place. So I got to repent again and go in another direction. Repentance simply means altering your course from your determination to come into alignment with His course for your destination. It simply means changing direction. So when we speak about repentance in the context of engaging a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not, I'm going to have to say this often because I'm not sure I've communicated with you yet to the point where you own this understanding, but sin does not separate you from heaven. Do you understand me? Sin does not separate you from heaven. Well, repent of your sins or you'll go to hell. Come on now. Sin is not about destination. Destination is a consequence of sin, but sin is about separating you from your Father, who is in heaven. If you're restored to your Father and you're going to be with Him, where are you going to be? Okay, it's the restoration to the Father that's the agenda. So when the Lord comes declaring, repent, for the kingdom is at heaven, kingdom is at hand, what is He saying? What kingdom is He talking about? He's talking about the rule of God through Christ within time and space as it applies to you. And so He's saying the kingdom is at hand. This thing is so close. In fact, in other situations, He say things like this. If I by the finger of God cast out devils, then the kingdom has come upon you. Because He's talking about a realm of authority and power that you can access and put on display through your own life that testifies to the validity of who Jesus is. At one point, He takes His 12 and then again the 70, and He says something like this to them. Wherever, whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what's set before you, heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When you see and hear testimonies of healing, it means the kingdom has come very, very close, and it's touched somebody. Sheila just gave us such a testimony. Rebecca gave us such a testimony. Paul, through his father, shared a testimony that the kingdom came close. How do we know? Because it manifested itself. The message of Jesus was about the kingdom, His eternal kingdom. Now, there are other messages available to us. But one of the commands that is given to us is this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is it that He is appealing through us for? That the kingdom can be manifested in time and space. And we are to participate in its manifestation. We're not only supposed to ask for it to come, but to be the administrators of its delivery. Because you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, there's a very important thing happening in your lifetime. There is another message in the earth right now. And it's an interesting message because it has consequences that were unanticipated when the purveyors started the message. In this hour, the message of this age in your culture is toleration. Do you know the word toleration? Webster defines it like this. To recognize and respect others' beliefs and practices without sharing them. And so, my culture places upon me the requirement to tolerate the religions who are committed to my destruction. my culture requires me to tolerate the religions and philosophies that are taking our children captive and making them slaves of sin. Now, there's an interesting thing about this message of toleration. It has been... Don't you love that sound? You know what that is? Listen. Listen to that. You know what that is? That's the future. I'm not chasing you out, baby. I'm serious. That's the future. I was holding one a while ago. First service. Screaming his fool head off. You go, boy. The notion of tolerance has been creeping into our culture to the point where individual rights are now exalted against the common good. And we are living in some kind of political, sociological, philosophical haze that doesn't allow there to be standards of truth anymore. In fact, tolerance has gone to the place of acceptance where anyone who is intolerant will not be tolerated. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying. That those of you who believe that you're accountable to a sovereign God are going to catch it from your culture. And we're catching it at every level. And so some of you are going to make the decision in your lifetime to blend with the culture rather than to stand with Christ. That kind of pressure is going to come in this culture in your lifetime, in this country in your lifetime. I wish you well. Please bring marshmallows when they burn me at the stake, because I have resolved who I serve. However, in this phenomenon of culture and its philosophy of tolerance, we're coming to the place where it can be defined by the scripture like this. That every man does what is right in his own eyes, and the end thereof is destruction. When you remove the compact or the covenant that holds a people together, and you begin to exalt personal rights above the common good, you're going to watch the thing deteriorate. I'm going to read a couple of things to you from scholars that will inform your mind. But we'll start with the translation of an old African proverb. And this African proverb is going to ignite in your mind the reality that people are tearing down fences without ever understanding why they were there. The proverb says, don't tear down the fence until you know why it was put up. Okay? Now, everywhere we look, fences that were designed to restrain things for the good of the culture are being systematically and aggressively removed. Listen to this. This is from the Catholic Education Resource Center. The article deals with the health risk of gay sex by Dr. John R. Diggs. It's an excerpt from a paragraph in that document entitled Cultural Implications of Promiscuity. Listen to this. The societal implications of the unrestrained sexual activity described above in the article are devastating. The ideal of sexual activity being limited to marriage, always defined as male-female, has been a fence erected in all civilizations around the globe. Throughout history, many people have climbed over the fence, engaging in premarital, extramarital, and homosexual sex. Still, the fence stands. The limits are visible to all. Climbing over the fence, metaphorically, has always been recognized as a breach of those limits, even by the breachers themselves. No civilization can retain its vitality for multiple generations after removing the fence. But now, social activists are saying there should be no fence, and that to destroy the fence is an act of liberation. If the fence is torn down, there's no visible boundary to sexual expression. If gay sex is socially acceptable, what logical reason can there be to deny social acceptance of adultery, polygamy, or pedophilia? The polygamous movement already has support from the advocates of the Gay Liberation Bill of Rights. And some in the psychological profession are floating the idea that maybe pedophilia is not so damaging to children after all. Now, you would not have occasion to think these thoughts in your home. This is not the breakfast conversation you're going to have tomorrow morning. But you need to clearly understand something, that as Christians in this culture, you are becoming the extremist minority. And it will take action against you if you dare to stand up and say, this is right, that is wrong. Because the spirit of this age is doing a wonderful, wonderful job of deceiving us. I guarantee you, and I dare you to take this bet, I double dog dare you to completely fast media for 40 days and then go back in and re-engage it. You will say to yourself, I can't believe I didn't see this before. It's so, so incredibly subtle, the message of this age, because it comes at us from every single... I had a mother complain to me, I don't have daughters. And so there are things about daughter dress that I don't engage in, you know, even theologically. Until a mother comes and complains to me that she cannot take her daughter shopping because she can't find anything on the racks that comes anywhere close to modest. That everything that's available for our young women puts everything they have on display in a fashion that's unacceptable to any parent who thinks there's an actual standard of morality that should influence the thinking of their children. God, I sound old. Look, I am not one of these preach against guys. Okay, so don't, if you're here for the first time, don't throw me in that category. I'm a lift Jesus up kind of guy. But we have such a startling contrast that's happening. Someone was telling me the other day, they were checking one of the blogs about what's going on in Lakeland. And there were two kinds of blogs. There were those who were, knew the reality, had been touched, they or their friends had been healed. And there were others who were talking about those self-righteous, right-wing, illiterate Christians. I'm here to tell you something. Christianity in this country does not belong to the illiterate. It belongs to the middle and upper class. Go do some reading. We're not talking trailer court mentality and economic existence as the standard of American Christianity. So these old arguments, you know, you can get educated and argue about it if you want to. I just soon lift up Jesus. But have I said enough to persuade you that there is actually a message of this generation? Okay, Jesus had a message about the kingdom. This generation has a message. What's your message? Well, I don't like that. Well, that's not a message. But you do have a message. You have a wonderful message. You have a distinct message. You have a carefully crafted message. When the Lord visited me in the summer of 2007, it was January of 2007. I was shocked at what he told me. Some of you have heard this. I'll repeat it just for emphasis. I had a crummy childhood under the hand of an abusive stepfather. If any stepfather did to a child today what was done to me routinely, they would go to jail for a long, long time. And so in the destruction of that, the inside of that little person, the Lord came and began a recreative miracle over a period of years by taking me out of that situation into the military, through education, into the ranks of officers, jobs of responsibility, etc. But in spite of the encounters I had where healing would come into my soul in this area, in this, that, in that area, the Lord visited me one morning and recounted many of those things and then said, I did that to you. Now, immediately my mind was astonished with the notion that the God of all mercy, the Father of all compassion, would do that to anybody. So I invited him to continue. And he said, I did that to you because I knew what you were going to be. And I knew what we were going to be together. I'm the one who put you on the outside looking in because that's where most people live. And I needed a spokesman among them in your generation, and I chose you. Now, suddenly, the God of history reinterprets your entire existence. And from that time forward, as I have carried that one revelation to the oppressed countries, I have made this discovery. I have been personally crafted by the Lord God to go in among oppressed people and speak a word of redemption and hope that bring them to their feet in tears because somebody finally came and explained the crappy existence they've had to live under communism. I have a message. And it's not necessarily for you, except for this. It doesn't matter what the form of oppression is. It can be poverty. It can be abuse. It can be religious legalism. It can be tyrannical governments. The fruit is the same. Oppression destroys you on the inside. And my testimony is God can take those fragments and build something for His glory. That's my message. Okay? But you have a message. It's been crafted since before you were in the womb. It's written in a book before any of its days came to be. If you believe God is sovereign, He has to be the God of history. And if He's the God of history, He's the God of your history. And He's been at work doing something to put Himself on display through you in such a way that when we all stand up together, it's an incredible display of the most awesome assembly of a menagerie figures, and each one of them is pristine in their creation, beauty, and attractiveness. But they're all different. That's the power of the redemption of our God. He chooses to make you a witness to that element of His grace. So that when we stand up together with the 12, and that group says, but what about, here's our spokesperson for that group. And this group says, yeah, but you don't understand. So, well, this is our spokesperson to that group because we've got a message for every single one of them. And it's yours. But you've got to know what your message is. Now, for those of you under 30, most of you are still figuring out what your message is. For those of us over 50, we had better, by God, know what it is by now. You know, I'm just impatient with the over 50 crowd. Says, you know, I don't know what God wants to do with my life. Well, whatever it was, dude, is behind you. Game's almost over. Don't tell me at 55 you're middle age. How many people do you know that make it to 110? Now, an interesting thing is happening in this social and philosophical morass called America. Doctrine is not out. I was astonished to read this from research, from the pre-churched, those who are now in the church but weren't in the church, who will own up to this. Doctrine was important to them. I was astonished at that because they wanted to know they weren't getting into a cultic thing. But cerebral doctrine is out. People don't care what you believe. They care what you live. So what part of Jesus are you living? What part of Him is on display? None of us can fully put Him on display. None of us. But what part is your part? When you look at your life, and you're sitting, well, man, I don't know, Pastor, I've never even thought about this. Think about it for a moment. What is your message? Look back over your shoulder and look at the footprints of your life. Where did he take you? What did you get into? Why was it that this thing was so corrupt and that thing was so wonderful? Pay attention to the details, because when you come to Christ, you don't make a sharp left turn into a new life. All of it has been building for the words that he will speak through you as one who has authority on that issue. We need your witness. We need you to give testimony to the grace of God as a person who grew up in a normal family. You had a healthy relationship with your parents. Nobody was on drugs. Nobody divorced. Nobody was abused. You lived in a nice neighborhood. God, what an unusual testimony. We need to hear that so there can be hope for those of us who grew up across the tracks, beaten down and cursed every single day, that there's actually a model for what we can see in our children and our grandchildren. We need to hear you say that. Don't tell me, well, I don't have a testimony. I was never a prostitute or a drug addict. I never shot anybody. I never went to jail. Praise God! You don't have that history. Tell me what it's like to be normal. I never saw it until I married my wife and met her family. There is one screwed up bunch of people sitting in front of me. Okay? I do. Look, I have lived with a good many of you through some of the most unbelievably nightmarish situations. Sin can come at us in ways we can't conceive of because our minds don't work that way. And some of you have faced the most devastating setbacks, horrible betrayals, terrible life tragedies. And I have watched the grace of God on your life, and you're still here. But when you speak, I've got to update my commercials. I don't generally watch them because they annoy me, so I just go to another program. But there used to be one called E.F. Hutton. And when E.F. Hutton speaks, everything went silent. You know? Look, the living word that you have, the genuine testimony that you have is like that. Because for the crowd who identifies with that spirit and that history and that destruction, and you're standing there whole and healthy and redeemed and speaking well of the God they're still mad at, you have an authority that is weighty in that audience. I have never sat in a psychiatric ward as a patient, but a number of you have. You've been in that little constrained prison house, and you have a word of authority. I can't speak about how God delivered you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have a message. There's my favorite drunk. All right? Now, she doesn't drink anymore, but when she came to the Lord, she was habitually drunk. And when I see what the Lord does to her today, how she loves Jesus, how she declares how wonderful He is. And I'm moved to tears every time I think about it. Because there stands one of the pristine examples of the mercy and grace of God to anybody who's ensnared with that problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to find your voice. This house needs your voice, not just my voice, because your voice has got a wonderful story. It's got an amplified spirit for those who are in that place of distress. You know, when I speak, it's, well, you know, Jesus, but when you talk, it's, I mean, I was right there, brother. I know what that needle mark was. I know what that ecstasy is. But you also know what it is when you come down off of that high. I can't say that kind of stuff with any credibility. You shall be witnesses unto me. You will give authoritative testimony concerning what I am to you and those who hear your voice. And I would say to you, what you represent is part of the message of the gospel of the King. I want to ask you to consider something. When we hit the fall running, I would like very much for you to have identified your message. Because I believe the Lord's going to open up new elements, strata of this society to us. People don't come to church meetings anymore. Only 17 point something percent of the population of this country, America, attends church on a weekly basis. All right? Because they have had it with church as they've known it. But people come with you if you're credible. Would you be willing? Yeah. I know how to get him out of here. Just start wafting this scent of food up there. Would you be willing this summer, would you be willing to make this your summer project, that you will find your message as you understand it today? Would you be willing to do that? Can we go that far? I'd like you to kind of write it out so it makes sense to you. How many of you can picture a chair as you look at it? Okay. And I want you to take that chair you have in your mind and walk around to the side and look at it from the side. Can you do that in your mind? Can you walk around behind that chair and see it? Okay. See, your story has more facets than you realize. Your story can be spun from 4, 5, 6, 7 different directions for nuances of different audiences. But if you don't know what your message is, you're not going to be prepared to give it. And when you learn it, would you share it with Pastor Don and me? We need to know what your message is, because we come across, I routinely am dealing with people and I'll say, you know, I've got somebody you need to talk to. And I'll connect them with somebody who knows the road they have taken. If you will help us with that, we can multiply the effectiveness of the work of God's Holy Spirit around us by saying, you need to talk to my favorite drunk. You need to talk to the one who lived in such and such a situation. All righty, would you stand, please? The possibility exists this morning that the Holy Spirit has plucked on your string. And there's a vibration happening in you, and you need to do business with Him. I want to invite you to the altar to do that. Additionally, you know how it is around here. God will speak to us through those who are open to Him. Well, Rhonda's been flagging me saying, Daddy been talking. Let's see who he's talking to. When the Lord supplies a word of knowledge, we simply want to hear it, weigh it, and if it applies to us, we want to respond to it, because if God's saying it, He intends to do something about it. I thought I did.
You've been having difficulty with your wrist.
Wrist pain. Who is that? Here? 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 There, yeah, y'all come on over here, right here. Come stand right here.
Come to one area.
Let's get your wrist healed.
And I believe I have a prophetic word for you, Mr. and Mrs. Foreman. So if y'all will come and...
Tony, come stand with Aaron. Y'all and just turn and look in this direction. Step forward about 2 feet away from this platform here. Okay. Line up shoulder to shoulder. Y'all know the drill.
And the lady in the white shirt with the little sparklies, I think I have a word for you, too, if you'll come up.
Mary,
I'd like
you,
to
darling.
Pray for you, Mary.
Okay. Let's give the Holy Ghost first shot with this thing. Start moving your wrist around, asking God to heal it.
There is someone here today that's going through depression, and God is here to set you free of that depression. There's someone here that's going through depression. God is here to set you free today. And something else that come in very strong. There's someone here that's battling bad dreams, almost a demonic dreams. God wants to deliver you from that.
Bad dreams?
Bad dreams.
Dreams. Who is that? Who's the dream? And you? Bad dreams come up here. That's a spirit of torment, generally.
And the last one is that I got was that there's a married couple here today. God wants to bring you closer together.
If you and your wife are here together, or you and your husband are here together, and but you're estranged from one another, even though you're together, find a discreet way to get up here and let Danny pray for you.